Welcome to the Morning Star Baptist Church Sunday School lesson this week. The title of our lesson is Be Godly. Be Godly. Find our text in the book of Titus, looking at the Titus chapter 2. We looked at chapter 1 last week. If you missed it, I encourage you to go on Facebook and look for the Morning Star link or go to MorningstarBaptistChurch.com website. You'll see a link that says preaching and teaching, and a lot of the Sunday school lessons, including last week, is on our website. In our lesson today, there's just too many Christians today that say one thing and yet their lives demonstrate the opposite. People are watching us. Our actions may be the only Bible that some lost people will ever read. So the question is, what are they reading? Do we say we love the Lord and yet we act like the world? Do our co-workers see us as godly? Well, how about our friends? Or let's just zoom on in. How about our family? We who were saved, we do not have to be a slave to our sinful habits. We've been set free. Now, we're not free to follow after our sinful nature. Lost people are in bondage to sin. They have no power over sin. But we who are saved, we're born again, we have been set free. God's grace has set us free from the power of sin, so we can say no to sin and we can worship and serve the Lord. When we're saved, we become a new creature. But we did not automatically become perfect. We can't change ourselves on our own. But now that we are saved, the Holy Spirit can use the Word of God to change our thoughts and our actions, if we allow him to. We must get the Word of God in our heart. That is something we have to do. God doesn't pour the Word of God into our minds while we sleep. Having the Bible on the coffee table is not going to get it done if it's not open. Even carrying the Bible under our arms won't work. We have to study. It's our job to get the Word of God in our minds and our hearts. In Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 1:2, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 2 Timothy 2:15, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to get the word, and we need to get in the word, and we need to get the word in us. The Holy Spirit will use the word, of course I'm referring to the Bible, to direct our paths and make us usable. And if we're usable, then we'll be used. When we submit to the teaching of the Scriptures, our lives will reflect Christ. Jesus is the Son, S-U-N, and he's also the Son, S-O-N. And we're like the moon. Now, the moon doesn't generate light. The moon reflects light. We need to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our thoughts and in our actions. So now let's look at our text, the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. As we looked last week, we find the young man Titus in Crete. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to instruct Titus, the young preacher, in organizing the church and to head off the false teaching that was creeping into the churches. Of course, Titus was pastoring the church, and Paul was giving him instructions through the epistle. But now we see a but. Now this but refers back to where we left off last week. It's referring back to false teachers. The false teachers rejected the authority of Christ, and the false teachers opposed the truth. But what? But Titus was to speak the things which would become sound doctrine. That Greek word used here for speak is continually proclaim or keep on proclaiming. Paul instructed Titus to preach and teach the truths of Scripture so that the church would become grounded in sound doctrine. And once a Christian becomes grounded in the truth, then they'll not fall for anything or anyone that comes along. And that's the problem today. There's a lot of people that call themselves preachers and pastors, and they're just tickling the ears to get the crowd in. I heard one preacher say, well, if you offer my hamburger to get them in, somebody down the road is going to offer them a steak to pull them out. We have a lot of spiritually anemic Christians starved for the Word of God. Last week, Paul listed the qualifications of a pastor, an overseer, a bishop, an elder. Paul used these words interchangeably. And now he is zooming in on the church. He's zooming in on the members that make up the church. God gives specific instructions for every person in the church directory. The old, the young, the women, the men, even the preacher and the servant. Paul instructed Titus to counter the ungodly influence of the false teachers by teaching sound doctrine to the church members. And now he begins, we're going to look at these verses. He begins with the aged men, the older men. Let's look at verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So he starts off here with the older men. They're to be examples for others to follow. The older men in the church should be full of grace, and of course that means mature in the Lord. As their body may be decaying and their body may be frail and they may become weaker, but their inner man should become renewed and stronger than ever. Then it says they're to be sober. You ever notice how a drunk person's out of control, staggering around everywhere, or even has a loose tongue? Well, sober is the opposite of drunk. Sober means to be in the right mind, to exercise the right mind, to be alert. And then it says grave. They're to be dignified and serious. They're to act responsibly so they could earn the respect of others. It's hard to follow or look up to someone that we can't respect. And then temperate. They need to be self-restrained. They need to be in control of their feelings and in their actions. It's easy to lose our temper sometimes, especially when we're being persecuted or verbally attacked. Yet that's exactly what we should do. They're not to use their decaying conditions as excuses to be intemperate, but rather to be an example to the younger. They're to be sound in faith. They should have a strong faith in Christ. They should be unmovable, have some convictions about them. Remember that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If the older men have consistently studied the Bible, listened to the preaching, listened to the teaching of the Bible, then they should be as sound in faith. They should have matured. And then it says charity, and we know that this also refers to love. Charity. They should have a genuine love for others. They should be willing to show compassion. They should be willing to help others. Love is the most important character of a godly person. We must have sincere love for God and then to others because of our love for God. And then it says we're to have patience. Older men are to have both enduring patience and waiting patience. They need to be content to wait on God's timing. For the good things, they need to endure the hardships of life and be steadfast and patient. Preacher Carrigan, our pastor of 50 years, has helped me with the understanding that we must be patient with some Christians who are not as mature as others. We can't expect a newborn Christian to act like a mature Christian. They have to have space to grow. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach them and mature them. In Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience is a process. It takes time and tribulation in the process. The aged men should have endured a lot of these tribulations and should have developed patience through them. And then after the aged men, it goes into the aged women. Let me just interject here that there's a lot of seniors in our church that think, oh, well, I've reached a ripe old age now. I'm going to sit back and let the younger people do it. Well, now, God never meant for that to happen. You're to run your race until you get home, until you cross that finish line. Even though you may be older, you may be a senior, and your body may be getting frail, there is still so much you can do. I know you can pray. I know you can call others. You can send cards. There's even a lot of things in the church that you can still do. So he now zooms in on the aged women or the elderly senior women in verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things. So as we look at the older women, it says likewise. That likewise is referring to, well, they should be the same maturity level as the men that we just discussed in the previous verses. They should be to the point of being godly. These aged women should have matured and grown in the Lord. The virtues mentioned before for the aged men, sobriety, gravity, temperance, soundness in faith, charity, patience. He says that likewise it also applies to the women. They are to be examples to others. They are to live a life pleasing to God. Their behavior should line up with the Word of God. They should not be gossipers or false accusers. I looked at a few sites on the internet to see it says that women actually talk more than men. Well, it didn't take but just a few minutes to see that the non-biased reports that women talk more than men, And some of the articles say that they tend to talk more about others. Well, now what is that? That is gossip. Thus, God's instruction specifically to the women says not to be false accusers. But just as the women are, also applies to the character of the older men, these instructions also apply to men as well. None of us should be false accusers. And it says not given to wine. There are people who try to turn the scripture around and excuse drinking wine or alcohol to enslave people. It will enslave people. We're to abstain from it. We're to flee from it. Don't let people twist the scriptures and say, it's okay to drink wine. It's okay to drink alcohol as long as you don't drink too much or be excessive. No, the Bible does not teach that at all. When the Bible teaches in referring to wine, it refers to wine as a medicine. Or it refers to wine that's not been fermented and not alcohol. In other words, it's more like a grape juice. So don't get bogged down and don't let people twist that. We should abstain from alcohol. And then it says these older women should be teachers of good things. The older women are to be teachers of good things, not public preachers, because the Bible reserves that role to the pastor. 1 Corinthians 14:14, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. They are to teach good things. They can speak in the church. And to teach good things as opposed to corrupt things, like superstitions and old wives' tales. They were to teach the younger women. They were to teach the children. And their teaching should have eternal value. The teaching should line up with the Word of God. Verse 4, it goes on to say that they may teach the young women to be sober. Yes, the older women are to teach the younger women. You're to be an example to them and you're to teach them. Teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So the older women has a responsibility to teach and train these younger women in the faith, to be godly, to be a godly wife, a godly mother, living a life that honors Christ. Their homes should be able to withstand the false teachers. And they're to love their own husbands. And they're to love their children. There are many things missing in today's America that our ancestors had. Godly mothers and wives in a home is one of the things that's missing in America today. There's a saying that says, as goes the mothers in the home, so goes America. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Titus verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The younger women are to be wise. They're to be discreet in their thinking and their behavior. And then that word chaste means purity. Before marriage, yes. Even today in America in 2021, before marriage, they're to be a virgin. And yes, after marriage, they're to be faithful to their own husbands. And then it says they're to be keepers of the home. Along with the husband, they're to be good managers of the household. They're also to read and teach the Word of God in prayer, have a prayer life and faithfulness to God and faithfulness to God's house and training up the children in the things of God. And it says they're to be good. It's easy for a woman to get discouraged raising children, cooking, cleaning, all the pressures of keeping a home. But however, they're to stay godly in their actions and they're to keep focused. And then it says obedient to their own husbands. I know of too many women that address to kill and to go to work just to please someone at work or dress up and then trying to please their boss and look good in front of their boss and look good in front of their coworkers and paint their face up and put on their best clothes and then they come home and treat their husband like dirt. Yeah, it'd be good to dress up and have a date night each week, even with your own spouse. Husbands, of course, should love their wives sacrificially, unconditionally, as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5:21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you fear God? Then you should submit yourself to your spouse, and you and your spouse should submit to God. Put Him first. Titus 2:6. Now we start focusing on the young men. We looked at the senior men, the senior women. We looked at the young women, and now we're going to look at the young men. Verse 6, it says, young men likewise. There's that word likewise again. Exhort to be sober-minded. So the young men there in Crete, and of course even today, they were constantly being challenged by immoral climate of the island. The younger men are apt to be eager and thoughtless. But they are to be exhorted, they're to be encouraged to be self-controlled and in their right mind, sober. Serving the Lord is exciting and it's challenging. They're to be reminded of their need for redemption and to humbly trust in the Savior. And Paul had instructed young Titus how to teach these different groups of the church. The senior men, the aged women, the young men, the young women. But how could Titus teach these groups if he, being a young man himself, if he didn't live what he preached? So in verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So now Paul is focusing back on Titus, the pastor. He was to be an example for them to follow. He was to live above reproach. His focus was to be on the Lord so that others could see Christ in him. He was to teach the truths of the Word of God and be serious and sincere in his actions, his preaching and his teaching. And he needed to practice what he preached. The best teaching we can give others are the lessons of being an example. That pattern, we need to be a pattern. We need to be examples for others to follow. And then in verse 8, he continues on, sound in speech that cannot be condemned. That he is of the contrary part, may be ashamed. Let me read that again. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. His preaching, his teaching should be so sound that no one can accuse him, no one can condemn him and throw rocks at him and talk about him compromising or swaying from the scriptures. If so, they don't have a rock to throw, and they'll be ashamed for even suggesting such a thing. The Titus, the pastors, the preachers should be living so godly that if anybody even thought about coming against them with an idle word or laying their mouth or their hands on him, that they were going to be ashamed because of the power, they'll feel the presence of the power of God. And then in verse 9 it says, exhort servants. So now we've getting down to the servants. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own the masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Now back in the Bible days, they had literal slaves and servants. Well, today we can also apply this, these servants, we can apply this to employees and employers. Titus was to teach the servants or the employees to be obedient. And Paul never condemned or approved slavery, but he did instruct them to be loving and kind and responsible in how they treat each other. Christian employees today should not take advantage of their boss, or nor should the boss take advantage of the employees. We can do our job and even manage others and still be Christ-like and maintain a good testimony. And then it says also, that is that verse that says, not answering again. This indicates that we shouldn't be contentious or flippant. We should show respect and do what it takes to do a good job. In Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If we're God's children, if you've been born again, then you are. Then he doesn't favor one over the other. The land is level at the cross. Back to our text, verse 10. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity.
Hi.
Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That word purloin means to steal. Back then, it was common for slaves to steal from their masters. Titus was to instruct them to deal honestly and not steal. Then it says fidelity. That's loyalty. Employees should be loyal to the company that they work for. If we live and work Christ-like, then the gospel will be found attractive and may cause others to want what we have. So what I'm saying here is, or what the Bible is saying here is, yes, even on the job, we're to be Christ-like. Even on the job, we're to let our lives speak louder than words. It may not be within the rules to go to work and preach and hand out tracts, but you can still live a godly life. You can still live in a way that others will see Christ in you. And we should live a life we should be so much salt that they'll want to drink of living water. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, I say thank God for that. I'm glad he didn't say it was just to the chosen nation. I'm glad he didn't say it was just for the Jews. I'm glad he didn't say it was just for Tommy. That's right. I'm a whosoever will. It's all men. It's all people. The reason I'm glad he didn't say it was for Tommy, because there are a lot of Tommies in this world. And how would I know that he's speaking to me or not? He could be referencing one of the other Tommies. No, I'm glad he said whosoever will. I'm glad he said all men. God's grace, unmerited favor, brings salvation. By grace are we saved through faith in Jesus Christ. All men, all people, Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, white, poor, rich, employee, employer. I'll sum it up back with that great word that I love to use and the Bible uses. Whosoever. I'm glad I am a whosoever will. There's too many today that are whosoever wants. We need to be a whosoever will. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Are you full of grace and truth? The Word is full of grace and truth. Jesus came and became flesh. Yes, he was God. There's a misconception that God was born. Some denominations believe that God was born on Christmas Day. Well, let me just say, God has always been. He was here from the beginning. Jesus was born on Christmas Day in his humanity, but he's always been God. And it says the Word. And of course, if you go into John and read those verses, you'll see that the Word is referring to Jesus Christ. And it says the Word, or Jesus Christ, was made flesh. He's always been the Word. He's always been God. Back to our text, verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We looked at the senior men, we looked at the senior women, we looked at the young ladies, we looked at the young men. He's now including children, he's including anybody and everybody. Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. This world, I'll tell you, Satan has a lot of snares. He lays a lot of traps. He can make this world look so appealing. But believers have been transformed and are now new creatures in Christ. We need to flee from anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Too many get caught up in these worldly lusts, money, power, bigger houses, careers, nicer cars, material things that this world has to offer. Now, let me just interject, there is nothing wrong to having material things. There's nothing wrong to having money. But as long as we keep the Lord first, He has to be our top priority. If we put any of these things before the Lord, then it is a sin. And whatever you put before the Lord becomes an idol. And the Lord says He must have first place. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Nothing should keep us from serving the Lord and putting Him first. We can walk uprightly. We can walk godly, even in this crooked and wicked and present world. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, seek Him first each and every day. And then, of course, Ephesians 6 instructs us and tells us how we can put on the whole armor of God to protect us from this spiritual warfare that we face each day. I encourage you to go read, if you're not familiar with Ephesians chapter 6. We need to start our day reading the Bible, praying, asking the Lord to lead us and guide us through the day. And then in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, I say amen. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to Him coming back? Do you believe He's coming back? Are you living like He's coming back? Are you telling others to be ready because He's coming back? I say bless His holy name. I'm glad I have that blessed hope today. This world is not my home. I'm looking forward to that glorious day for the Lord's appearing. And you know what? It might be today. I'm just about finished with this lesson, but you know, just in these next couple of minutes, He could come back. He could come back at any time. The Bible even says to have the oil in our lamp. He could come back in the night. He comes back when we least expect it. Did you expect Him to come back today? Did you live like it? Verse 14. Who gave Himself for us. Now, who is that? Of course, Jesus Christ. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you peculiar? Somebody calls you a peculiar person in Christ. Hey, that's a compliment. That is a compliment. If you're standing out from others, you're not going along with them telling jokes or profane jokes and stuff at the coffee pot or the break room. They see something different in you that they may call you peculiar. Well, the Bible says that we're to be separated. We're not to go along with that filthy junk. We are to stand out. I often tell people when I teach that, yeah, you may go to work and they may mock you, they may persecute you, they may make fun of you. Stay steadfast, anchored down in the Word. Be peculiar. Because let me tell you what else is going to happen. The first time these scoffers has a dire need in their life, maybe they've been diagnosed with a very fatal illness. Maybe someone in their family or something's happened. Maybe they've lost their job. Something tragic happens in their life. Who are they going to come running to? It's not going to be those gathered around the coffee pot telling nasty jokes. It's not going to be those other scoffers. They're going to come to you. And I've seen and I've personally witnessed this happen. People coming to me. I have been on jobs before and sort of laughed at when I would invite somebody to church or tell them about the Lord. But then in just a very short time, they're coming to me and say, "Hey, would you pray for so-and-so? Would you pray for my mom? Would you pray for my, please, will you please pray?" Your life makes a difference. You don't have to wear a big billboard on your back when you go to work or when you go to school that says, "I am a Christian." No, but your life should be that billboard. He came in the world and voluntarily gave himself as a sacrificial lamb to redeem and pay for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. We're all sinners. We're without a Savior. And without Him, we'll bust hell wide open. But in Christ, we have an eternal hope of heaven, spending an eternity with the one that died for us and rose again. And I'm glad to be numbered with the few. I'm glad to be a peculiar people in the crowd. And since He died for us, we should be willing to live for Him. We should be willing to tell others about Him and to be used of God. There were three outstanding facts here in Titus that teach believers, and of course we should too. Number one, that God saved them from their sin. Number two, that their redemption in Christ was intended to produce godliness. And number three, they were to joyously look forward to the return of the Savior. He is our blessed hope. As we look in this world today, especially the events that have been unfolding, with all of this COVID, with all of this crime, with all this burning of cities down and the election going this way instead of that way. But thank God He's still on the throne, and thank God He is our blessed hope. In Galatians 1:4, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. When the Lord comes back, I remember Preacher Maccabee telling us in the Bible school, when the Lord comes back, it's going to be a rescue mission to get us out of this wicked and evil world. I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then we're going to close with the last verse of our lesson, verse 15. These things speak. What things? What we've just been studying the last 45 minutes. These things speak. And we've already looked at that word speak. That word speak here is to proclaim. And that's what preaching is proclaiming the gospel. These things speak, proclaim, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, he said, preach the gospel. Exhort and encourage the saints. Rebuke these false teachers. And let no one despise thee. Being born again and living in Jesus Christ and Christ living in us He is our authority. This word of God is our authority. We speak with authority. So therefore, let's be godly in our thoughts. Let's be godly in our actions. Let others see Christ living in you. Let others be what you are, or want to be what you are, a godly Christian. I remember when I was lost, I'll finish the lesson with this testimony. I remember when I was lost. I was a volunteer rescue squad member and fireman. And there was a particular fireman in our, that he lived Christ-like. And when I was lost, I was far from Christ-like. I was far from godly. And I was one of those scoffers. And when something happened in my life, he is one that I would run to and ask him to pray. And then when I got saved, I thought to myself, I want what he's got. He's got Christ living in me, and that's what I want to be. And after I got saved, one of the first people that I called and told about my salvation was this fireman that lived godly in my life, even when I was living like a heathen and going along with the world. So be salt. Make others thirsty. Make others want Christ. Let them see Christ living in you so strong and so prevalent that they'll want what you got. And that's to get a drink of that living water. So as our title says, be godly. And that concludes our lesson. May God bless you. I hope you got some help from it.